From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, and welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben, you are you, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. The stuff we're exploring in this episode is near and dear to us, both figuratively and physically. We're talking about a recent event in our own fair metropolis of Atlanta, wherein it looked as if the city was falling apart. And to a degree, to a very small degree, that was true.
Absolutely. And we covered this just slightly. We touched it in our New York Live episode, just to give some context with that material. But we're really going to get into depth into it today.
Oh, that's right. So first, let's talk about infrastructure. Infrastructure is one of those chronic problems that the U.S. has because it's not, you know, a particularly juicy news item. It's kind of dry. People aren't really having passionate arguments. Pre-Flint, people aren't really having passionate arguments that make it into the national zeitgeist regarding, you know, water cleanliness and stuff. So if we define infrastructure in the most general terms, this describes all of the physical and social structures or facilities needed to make not just a city, but any society or a business run. So we're not just talking about roads or power supply grids or sewage or water treatment and so on. We're also talking about the groups of professionals that create, maintain, and ideally expand these structures to fit the needs of growing systems or communities. And that last part is pretty important.
And these two categories cannot exist without the other. If you've got a bunch of top-notch professionals that are like really good at what they do, but they don't have anything to work on, that's pointless. If you have really great roads and facilities, but no professionals to house them and to run them, then what are you doing?
Right. Yeah. They're reliant on each other. And it's no secret that the U.S. infrastructure is in dire straits. Not the band. Is that a band?
Yeah. They do the, what is it? Money for Nothing?
Oh, and your kicks for free?
Kicks? Is it kicks? I thought it was checks.
Like check
chicks?
Mix?
I always thought it was chicks for free.
Get your money for nothing and your... I like the idea of it being a checks mix song.
I just want to live in a society where our only currency is checks mix.
I think that could happen. I feel like we've earned that as people.
I like the little mini rye breads in checks mix.
I think those are the best.
I think they're... Yeah.
Do you think they sell those by themselves?
They might.
You're welcome, checks.
So the infrastructure's in dire straits, right?
Yes.
So this little outfit called the American Society of Civil Engineers, or ASCSE, their most recent infrastructure report card that they put out, told a pretty depressing story about the state of affairs. According to their analyses, there has not been a significant amount of improvement in the United States of America's transportation, water, energy, education, or waste management programs since the last report card was released in 2013. And overall, they gave the good old USA a D+. I guess that's better than a D- or just a hard D. And this all breaks down.
Get it? I actually wrote hot.
I know, it's in there. It's in there. Yikes. Into several different categories, which include, you got your railways, your bridges, your ports, and then you've got solid waste, which was received a C, and the bridges and ports both received C+, respectively. Then we have energy, hazardous waste, parks and rec, favorite show of mine, schools, wastewater, and each of those received another D+.
So there was also a rating for aviation, dams, drinking water, inland waterways, levees, and roads, all of which received a D. And, of course, no surprise here, public transit, the eternal runt of the litter, got a D-. Overall, that's a D+ score, and overall, that's a bad, 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 bad thing.
Yeah, this is really bad, especially since it just came out this year, and the last time that report was issued was in 2013. And you may have seen, if you watch it, the John Oliver episode on infrastructure.
Last week tonight, yeah.
Yeah, last week tonight, and he focused on that 2013 report card. And you'd think there'd be a little improvement.
Again, it's not as exciting as people would like their news stories to be. So unfortunately, Atlanta is no exception to this trend towards stagnation and decrepitude. This came to a very public and very dangerous head earlier this year, and it concerns the roads.
So there are five interstates that are important to this story that we're going to talk about. There's I-75 and I-85, which are closely linked when you're inside the city itself. I-20 and I-285. I-20 runs east to west, so it just goes horizontally across the city if you're looking at it from above. Then you've got I-75 and 85, which run north to south. Cut it vertically again from above. And I-85 in particular connects the Atlanta metropolitan area with Montgomery, Alabama. You've got Charlotte, North Carolina. And if you go all the way up on that interstate, you can almost get to Richmond, Virginia. Let's see. Then, also I-85 carries an estimated 400,000 vehicles per day. That's across the entire highway. And then the last one is 285, which is, it's not a circle, but for this, let's say it's a circle, a loop that goes around the city as a bypass.
So if you're driving south heading to almost Richmond, Virginia, mm-hmm. I hope there's a town named Almost Richmond. when you go through the city, if you want to avoid city traffic, you can hop on 285 and drive around the town. But 285, 85, 75, 20, they all have their problems. None of them are particularly amazing, but every road is going to have issues, especially when you have this much traffic.
Every road has its thorn.
There we go. I think that was worth it.
Or a giant hole in the middle of it.
Yeah. Or so it's giant.
That's the thorn.
That's the
okay.
thorn.
Okay.
Thorn is an acronym that somehow implies pothole.
All right.
Noel and I had a meeting about it. So what happened in particular with these interstates?
Well, there were a series of incidents.
Of unfortunate events.
A series of unfortunate events. The first of which went as follows. On Thursday, March 30th of this year, an area underneath an overpass bridge of Interstate 85, near the Georgia Department of Transportation's Armor Yard, which is very close to where 85 crosses over Piedmont Road to any Atlantans, ATLians in the area, caused a section of the northbound lanes to completely collapse, and there was a catastrophic amount of damage to the adjacent southbound lanes.
This was an honest-to-God conflagration.
Yep.
In total, there are 10 lanes of raised highway that were affected, and this is 300 feet of highway.
Yep.
In either direction. Even the president, the current president, said something about it. It was a huge deal at the time. You may remember this from your news if you're in the U.S. And without doing a Trump voice, we can just read the quote.
You just imagine any president saying this from the Roosevelt Room. That was something. The whole world was watching that one. Our brave firefighters battled 40-foot flames, which was incredible. What was the reason for those flames? It was something underneath that was very combustible? Those flames were amazing. They were amazing. The president is right. I personally drove past them on my commute home, as we mentioned before, and I got a video of it. And I think we have it on Facebook. I might post it on our YouTube just for funsies.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Do so. That would be good. And if you haven't seen that yet on our social media, you can check it out. That's not the only thing that happened. On Monday of April 17th, we had another incident.
I'm surprised he called the flames amazing and not tremendous. Amazing seems like the wrong choice of words.
I know. Amazing has
implies they were good.
It's such a positive connotation.
Tremendous would at least just mean they were large.
Right, right.
And in charge. Yeah, there was another little doozy of an incident that took place on the 17th, which was Monday. A section of I-20, which is a road that I frequent pretty often going between here and my hometown of Augusta, Georgia, basically buckled from underneath because I believe a gas leak took place. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, and the AP described it as such. Quote, the pavement rose to nearly the height of a full-grown man and split into several pieces. The official report was that an underground gas leak caused the buckling, but a spokeswoman for one of the local gas companies, Atlanta Gaslight, said while a contractor for the utility was working in the area, no natural gas was released.
So would you say they're gaslighting us?
It's very likely. And I mean, you know what? Geez. How does that even happen? Like, I can understand maybe if there was a pressurized, a high pressure release of material that could cause it.
It must be, because it could also be something small in the gas mix or in the density of the gas that's exploiting an already shoddy pipe system or something in need of repair, because it's a big hill, and apparently it popped up fast enough that a motorcyclist was injured.
Got Evel Knievel'd.
Right. Unintentionally. A non-consensual Knievel. And this, we have a statement from the Georgia Department of Transportation, and they went out of their way to say, like, this is not normal. They said, this is not an occurrence that happens every day. This is an extenuating circumstance of some things that happened when some work was being done. So this does not indicate that we have a widespread crumbling infrastructure.
Man, that sentence structure is so strange to me.
Some things that happened while some work was being done. That's like a shady answer I would give when I don't want to talk about something.
Are you saying you don't trust the official report?
I'm saying that a lot of people don't. And these are the two biggest incidents. But also, earlier in the same day, there was a huge chemical spill downtown. So
yeah, and this is just really fast to jump on this. Okay, so we talked about 285 and I-85/75. So if you're going through the city, if you're a trucker, let's say you've got a lot of things, let's say hazardous chemicals loaded up on your rig, generally, it is illegal for you to go directly through the city using that I-85, I-75.
Depending on the cargo.
Yeah, it's for all trucks unless you have business within the loop. Hmm. Like if you have business inside the loop, you can go through. If not, you have to use 285.
Okay.
And apparently this truck did not have business and was not on the correct highway.
Yeah, and he met one of our signature insane drivers.
Yeah. Yeah. An SUV driver that stopped in the middle of the highway and then you can find video of this crash. It looks as though this driver is trying to do a U-turn on a one-way highway.
But then just kind of gives up halfway through. It's weird. There's no follow through. I mean, it's a bizarre clip because the person, like you say, sort of swings wide as though they're going to flip it around, but then just kind of chills sideways and is like broadsided by this truck that then jackknifes and flips over, spilling its hazardous payload.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing.
And this is a town where there are numerous accidents that happen every day, but these three events stuck out both for their proximity, the extreme nature of the incidents, and of course, because jet fuel and steel beam jokes aside, how does a concrete bridge burn? We'll get into the official story after a word from our sponsors.
And we're back.
Yes.
To further discuss the carnage facing our fair town. We didn't even mention there was that same week-ish, or around the same time, there was a big fire on Buford Highway, which is our wonderful stretch of delicious food choices
all around the world. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
That the fire was actually really close to my house, just so you guys
know. That's right. And it was also, which is also pretty close to where the main original issue was with the burning fire to the bridge. The point being is, maybe you're asking yourselves, listeners, what is the point being, gentlemen?
What is the point of being?
Well, that's another podcast.
Okay.
But it's like, okay, you live in a city. Things like this happen.
Yeah.
And you might be asking yourself, though, what's the point of all this talk? And, you know, you're in a city. Cities burn. Things happen. Infrastructure breaks down. This is true. Yeah. But it's when we start getting into the official explanation of this business, mm-hmm. things start to feel a little murkier.
Right. Yeah, and we also have memories of Sherman, so you know we're all a little nervous about fire.
Yeah. The way I was going to say it is, this is not the first time Atlanta's had a fire.
There you go.
So this fire, this modern fire, broke out on a Thursday afternoon in like the hinterlands of rush hour toward the end, and it was in an area, this under a bridge where all sorts of shady stuff happens, in an area that was used to store construction materials and equipment. And the flames and the smoke rose higher and higher in the air. And authorities at the time said they're not sure how it started. The Georgia Department of Transportation, or you know, like this guy's GDOT, which I think is cool. It sounds like an MC name. They had been storing these coils of this plastic conduit that's used in fiber optic networks beneath the bridge, but they insisted they were not flammable. This stuff is specifically known as HDPE, an acronym meaning high density polyethylene. They're pipes, but they feel more like cables. You know, they're not the kind of lead pipe you're thinking of. The conduits are used in traffic management, cabling, fiber optic, wire networks. So the fire rises, right? All Bane style, and the police and the firefighters cut off traffic officially, and despite the fact that it is during rush hour, a heavily trafficked interstate, not only are there no fatalities, but there are no injuries. The entire city walks off without a scratch.
Yeah, except for the bridge itself. And you can see video of commuters driving through heavy black smoke where the visibility is zero, but they were just going for it. And somehow, like Ben said, yeah, still nobody got hurt. It seems so improbable, but it's also great.
Right. Yeah. So that's the first thing, the complete lack of fatality, injury, or accident that set people's weirdometer off, you know, that tipped the needle a little. The next day, three people were arrested. Basil Ellaby, Sophia Brower, and Barry Thomas. The deputy insurance commissioner, a guy named Jay Florence, said Basil Ellaby faced a charge of criminal damage to property, while Sophia and Barry were charged with criminal trespassing. They think that these three people were together under the bridge when the fire started and that Ellaby set the fire. And he didn't say why this guy would start the fire. And he didn't really say how in the beginning, though they have a theory. But there's one part of this, is a little bit of gallows humor. One part of the original police investigation said that the three people who are, as far as we know, homeless, met to discuss the consumption and smoking of crack, which I love because it sounds like they're holding a meeting.
Like to make plans to smoke crack later?
Right.
Yeah, allegedly. But, you know, some of the story like is evolving because the Sophia and Barry are a couple, and they were questioned for something like 7 hours by the authorities. I don't know exactly which authorities, but they were questioned for like 7 hours. And then those authorities realized that these two were actually witnesses probably to this guy, Barry. Okay.
But the whole thing, like, it's like, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to meet me today. We'd like to thank Sophia for the lovely box of donuts and, we have a motion on the floor from the previous meeting to discuss the consumption of crack cocaine. It just sounds very, and not to be heartless, but it does sound, it's a very weird way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So the current guess is that Ellaby burned down a piece of an interstate by putting a chair in a shopping cart and setting the chair on fire.
And then pushing a sofa onto it or something, which, I don't know, it was so weird.
Yeah. That's the official explanation. Again, there's a lot of damage. Why don't people believe this story? Here's where it gets crazy. There are plenty of problems with the official narrative.
So, of course, there's the angle of, you know, he set this fire in a shopping cart with a chair. But then there are many folks around that believe that it was just the consumption of the drugs that caused the fire. And of course, crack is a dangerous drug to you physically, but smoking it certainly doesn't produce enough heat to burn a bridge or to really even cause a sustained amount of heat such that it might catch flammable materials on fire.
Yeah, it seems like it'd have to be deliberate.
Yeah, because, you know, think about it, people are using a lighter of some sort, and once the drug is consumed, I guess even if somebody threw the paraphernalia or the pipe somewhere, the odds of it combusting something else are pretty low. So just some facts about the bridge, because we talked already about 85 itself. The bridge was built in 84. They rebuilt it in 93. So what they're, you know, they also are regularly inspecting it. And in theory, they're repairing it when it needs to be. But here's what's important. The road surface, what we would call the deck of the bridge, is 8.5 inches thick of reinforced concrete. And they've had, like, I think now there are about 250,000 vehicles driving on it per day. In 2032, if the bridge is still around, it'll be almost 300,000. And the other, some of the other problems with the official story are that people seem incredulous about it, because it's strange to think that three of the most vulnerable people in our society would be quickly and publicly, you know, condemned as the people behind it. And I'm not saying these folks are saints, but I am saying there's a thing that happens sometimes in criminal investigations. And this happened with serial killers too, like Henry Lee Lucas, and Otis Toole, I believe, were thought to have killed, you know, 350 something people, because it turns out that the authorities were taking unsolved homicides and pinning them on these guys for favors. And it's completely possible that if there's someone who has a drug addiction, someone who's very vulnerable, doesn't have assets for like a lawyer or a family to help them out, it's very possible that the authorities would say, hey, do you want to make this easier on yourself? We'll give you a better deal. We'll put you up in a nicer place, et cetera.
Yeah, it's possible. The whole idea of closing the case early has, I've heard that spoken aloud many times just from people I speak with around the office and near my house.
And this leads us to theories that have spread in the wake of it. I don't know. Did you guys ride any Ubers or Lyfts shortly after this occurred?
Yeah, I did actually. On the way to the airport going to New York for the live show that we did, my Uber driver had some pretty interesting things to say about the motivation behind this. He felt as though this gentleman was being scapegoated and that it would require a whole lot more firepower, shall we say, to bring down this infrastructure than what one man, even with a dumpster fire, shall we call it, could have provided. And his theory was that, you know, in Atlanta we have a public transit system. In quotes, it's not very good. It doesn't take you very far. It's a little bit outdated, and we've been hearing for years that they were going to invest a little more money into it, maybe make the routes go a little farther, make it make a little more sense to use on a regular basis. So I think ridership for, call it MARTA, is down. And the idea was if you're the government and you want to increase ridership and cut down on traffic,
yeah,
maybe you just blow up a main artery in and out of your own city.
Yeah.
That was his theory anyway.
It's such casual supervillainy. I love it. I love it. It's like, I want to be a Bond villain, but I don't want to do like a whole world thing.
Yeah.
So just part of the interstate. Let's see how it goes.
I had an Uber driver who thought it was somehow connected to the new Braves Stadium that's up 75, the other artery that splits off right there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, let's not forget that right after you get past where this fire was started, if you're going north, you get to Buckhead, which is like the hoity-toity banker area, the very expensive area of Atlanta.
Sure.
And it's also where, if you keep going up that way, you'll get to some of the nicer neighborhoods, the suburban areas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. They felt like somehow this was punishing those people.
Okay. That's strange. So quick facts about MARTA. MARTA is one of the only public transit systems that does not receive federal funding. And the expansion of MARTA has been stymied by tensions between counties surrounding Atlanta too. So there, frankly, for a time, there was racism that prevented the expansion of this system to other places. But then also there's the question of who's going to pay for it, right? And this means that, well, there's no way around it, guys. Ridership for MARTA did increase dramatically by like 25%.
So almost immediately. Because, almost immediately. And it's sustained until this day right now. You can't park in a lot of the
places. I was about to say, my roommate Frank takes MARTA every day because he works downtown. And that is one of the few places you can get to down where the courthouse and a lot of the government buildings are. And you can also get to a little town called Decatur where he also works. He does real estate title work. So he's either in Decatur or downtown. Mm-hmm. And he used to drive every day to the MARTA station and park and then take the train. But now it's impossible to get a parking spot. So he just like walks, you know, two and a half miles every single day now because it's just like there's no way to park unless you get there like at 7 a.m.
Yeah, yep. I remember him telling me about that. There's this other thing, this idea that focusing on the homeless is a diversion or scapegoat, as you said, and that the Georgia Department of Transportation, GDOT, should shoulder the blame for storing these materials. But of course, they insist that these were not combustible. And then we see that different authorities or officials are saying different things about the fire. Like you'll have a fire chief saying that this material certainly contributed to the high temperatures that were needed to collapse a bridge. But then, of course, the people at Georgia Department of Transportation are saying, no, not flammable. Jeez. The fire chief is apparently not accustomed to talking about fire and how fire works. I'm just saying. These are the main alternative explanations proliferating through the city. But each has its problem and its own set of problems, rather. And there isn't, at this point, any proof of a complicated conspiratorial cover-up. Although I do have one. Can I tell you guys about it after an ad break?
Sure.
So there is even this is a microcosmic example, right? On a micro level, this event in Atlanta is terrible, but it's great that no one got injured somehow, you know. Even though that's pretty curious, it's great. But there is a larger conspiracy afoot. And just like infrastructure, it's not necessarily a sexy thing or a captivating thing, but it is real and it is important. And it is this: state, federal, and local governments and politicians continue to ignore burgeoning infrastructure problems. These people, in a very real way, are conspiring to make these things problems for future generations. So I like bridges. I like driving on bridges, says somebody, but I hate paying taxes. Why should I pay taxes for somebody else's bridge? And to save a couple of bucks, too often what happens is that this money just disappears or gets used for something else or is seen as wasteful spending by, you know, various communities. But the problem is, that's calling an investment a waste of money. And I don't know if that's fair to say, but we do know without specific action that there will be that without specific steps, this problem will worsen and continue to worsen. Now, there are people out there in the U.S. doing great work out there every day, repairing roads. There's some other weird secret society of people in Atlanta who go around and just put metal plates willy-nilly on the asphalt.
Yeah.
I hope they're city employees, but it might be like a Toynbee tile thing. I don't know.
If you could talk to them and ask them to at least add at least one more inch to the height of those, that would be really great for my tires.
So we know people are working on this, but it's something that has to be continually addressed. And we'd like to conclude this stuff with some of the statements regarding the future of the interstate here.
Well, as of May 1st, the GDOT has said that it's expecting to open I-85 on May 25th. That's just before Memorial Day on the 29th. They're hoping for this. That would put the project 3 weeks ahead of its official schedule, which is honestly surprising to me after seeing what happened to the highway. I thought it would take a lot longer than that. So kudos to everybody who's been working on it.
And even to people who believe there is a conspiracy at play, even that is suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like sure. There were also earlier reports that there had been a terrorist attack that was covered up.
Yeah.
That one, by the way, we don't think that would work, ladies and gentlemen, because I can't remember who brought this up, but the thing with terrorist attacks when those things occur is that the people who have done it want everyone to know they did it. They want the credit. So that's probably not in play here. There's a larger thing that will hopefully be good news. The current administration has been talking for some time about passing a large infrastructure bill. They have not, at the time of recording, to our knowledge, passed it, because one of the big things that they're trying to figure out is how to pay for it. Would it be a gas tax? Would they just raise the price of gas? So the situation might change, and survey says that over 2/3 of Americans support spending more on roads, bridges, and transit, but it's very half and half when it comes to how to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, when the bill comes due. And we'd like to hear from you. What are the roads and bridges and water treatment plants like in your neck of the woods? Did we do an episode on Flint, Michigan?
We did.
So this, I think, is the same, in roughly the same category, except without, I don't know. Do you guys think this is an accident, or there's something more at play? Is MARTA really a secret supervillain?
Okay, so just a couple of things. I don't wish that were true, but I can imagine that being true.
I just see like a table with a big M.
Yeah.
And it's awkward, but they all have to sit around the M.
It's orange and blue.
There's Hydra, and then there's MARTA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Just from experiencing the fire very close to it and seeing it from far away early on when it was starting.
Yeah.
I can't say for certain, but it definitely seemed like a small fire that got out of hand. From okay. what I observed coming from our offices,
yeah.
driving in the direction of it where you could see a little bit of black smoke, and then to driving right past it where I could feel the obvious, you know, possibly thousands of degrees, because I was very far away and it singed the hair on my arm.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean.
So you think it's an accident then?
I think in my head, it's not an accident. I'm not saying it's an accident. I'm saying it was a small fire that got out of hand.
I see. So maybe they were just making a fire like to hang out around.
Maybe that. Maybe the dude was committing an act of arson, or someone was. Or, you know, I can't discount any of that. All I can say is that people are questioning whether or not that fire could, you know, melt the beams. I'm pretty sure that it can, because it wasn't actually melting the concrete and the steel and everything. It was melting the connector between the two, I guess you can think of them as giant plates.
Yeah.
You know, the sections, the parts that connect them up, that's what was melting.
So what about you, Noel? What do you think?
You know, I mean, our government in particular is not the most above board.
that is
shall
true.
We say?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I believe it was in Decatur. No, actually, it was in East Point, in the city of East Point. There was a whole scandal where the government was like secretly keeping everyone's water bill money and like not you know, giving them the services that they were due and things like that.
Just the local government.
The local government, yeah. But I just, you know, there's a kind of a culture of corruption in this town a bit, I would say.
In any big town.
In any big town. Obviously any big town.
Yeah.
But you know, would I put it past our local government to, it just seems like a bit of a stretch, like a bit of like a reach too far.
Yeah.
That they're going to like, you know, blow up the bridge to increase martyr ridership.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not only that, do such a damn fine job fixing it, because they really are.
Right.
Ahead of schedule, you know.
Well, it's because they're spending snapping along. So much money on it.
Well, you know who's paying for most of it?
Who?
Is the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's federal funding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're interesting.
But at the same time, it's like no one's pocketing that money.
Yeah, I know.
So obviously, it costs – it probably –
well, the contractors are.
Well, that's true.
But part of it – I mean, they'll probably get a bonus too for being ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what you mentioned about corruption, because a little known fact about a county that is – partially is part of Atlanta is that in this is DeKalb County, one of the sheriffs murdered another one over the election. So we do have endemic corruption on several levels, but we have a lot of honest people doing honest work. I love the madcap aspect of, yes, we need to increase ridership. What's the easiest way to do it? Should we take out an ad in the paper? No. How do you feel about bridges? You know, it seems kind of Rube Goldberg-esque. But we hope that you have enjoyed this episode. We'd like to hear your take on this kind of thing. Do you think it was an attack that was covered up? Do you think there's something more to the story? Or is this just an unfortunate accident where everyone in the city got lucky and was not injured? And most importantly, has something like this happened in a place near you?
And what's a good way for us to start up another new deal where we just have a public works association that goes through and just cleans up all the infrastructure?
Ooh, that's controversial, Matt.
We need it.
I think Trump's got that on lock.
Awesome. Well, let's do it.
Yeah, there's a plan. We'll see if it gets passed that he proposed months ago, but that's also controversial.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. Like,
I propose that we do a non-controversial episode.
Okay.
Like what?
No, like Twimby tiles.
Or the sandwiches. Did you see that tweet, you guys? The whole sandwiches thing?
Yes. Thanks for sending in the sandwich chart. I appreciated it. I will use it and frame it. We're heading out today. This ends our episode, but not our show. We will be back next week with a special guest appearance from a friend of the show. Do check it out. And between now and the next time you hear us on the air, think about how many times a camera sees your face. Just on average. Just, you know, muddle it out.
There's one looking at me right now.
So if you would like to find some of our stories that have not made it to the air here on the podcast for one reason or another, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where we are Conspiracy Stuff and Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Or you can just send us an email to
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.